From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One of the questions I answer in the Creation Answer book was, Eve deceived by a talking snake? And to answer that question, we need to broach the subject of literalism. To read Scripture literally is to read Scripture as literature. And that means that we are to interpret the Word of God just as we interpret other forms of communication in the most obvious, the most natural sense. Therefore, when Moses uses the symbolism of a snake, we do violence to his intentions if we interpret him in a woodenly literal fashion. Remember that a literalistic interpretation does as much violence to the biblical text as does a spiritualized interpretation that empties the text of all objective meaning. If the historical Adam and Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit, if they did not descend into a life of habitual sin resulting in death, well, there'd be no need for redemption. But, on the other hand, if Genesis were reduced to an allegory conveying merely abstract ideas about temptation and sin and redemption devoid of any correlation with actual events in history, the very foundation of Christianity would, of course, be destroyed. When the prophet Moses describes Satan as an ancient serpent, and when the apostle John describes him as an ancient dragon, they do not for a moment intend to tell us what Satan looks like. They want to teach us what Satan is like. Dragons, after all, are the stuff of mythology, not theology. And if we think of Satan as either a slithering snake or as a fire-breathing dragon, we would not only misunderstand the nature of fallen angels, but we might also suppose that, well, that Jesus triumphed over the work of the devil by stepping on the head of a snake. Of course, in truth, Jesus triumphed through his passion on the cross. So in short, Eve was not deceived by a talking snake. Moses uses the symbol of a snake to communicate the wiles of the evil one who deceived Eve through mind-to-mind communication precisely as he seeks to deceive us today. And of course, the biblical imagery of the twisted serpent is such a masterful portrayal of Satan's fall. He once held a privileged position in God's kingdom, but now he's even lower than the livestock. They have legs. He, however, crawls on his belly and eats dust. So those who know their Old Testament texts well immediately recognize the metaphor. Micah, like Moses, uses the imagery of a serpent to depict the nation seeking to thwart the purposes of God in saying that they will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl upon the ground. The imagery of a serpent is a brilliant way of communicating the wiles of the evil one. I've written about this again in the Creation Answer book. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up is Angela in Riverside, California. Hi, Angela.
Yes. My question is, the term word of faith. My husband was listening to a sermon, And I asked him, what does that mean, word of faith? And he wasn't able to explain it. So I wondered if you could explain what is word of faith.
Yeah. Well, the basic concept is this, that faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. And through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So the whole idea is trying to harness this energy, this force in our words, and thereby you come up with this notion of the word of faith. So if you speak words of faith, then you can have unlimited wealth and health, a palace like the Taj Mahal, and a Rolls Royce. If you speak contrarily words of fear, then bad things are going to happen to you, even if those words are spoken inadvertently. So it's a complete prostitution of biblical faith. Biblical faith is not a force. Biblical faith is a channel of living trust between a person and their God. And faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if our faith is faith in God, it is well-placed faith. But if our faith is faith in our own faith, it is, of course, credulity.
Very good. Thank you. That was a good explanation.
Well, you got it. I've written about this in a lot of detail in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris in Chandler, Arizona. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I got a question. I guess in the last 2 or 3 years, I've been questioning God, if he even exists. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I try to keep my faith, and I try to stay strong and believe in God and everything, but it hit and miss. I'm starting to question it. It's like, you know, things just, I don't know what it is. Things just make me feel like, man, is he there? And I'm trying to figure out, where do I stand with my salvation if I feel that way, you know?
Well, here's the simple way of explaining that. Look around you. Particularly tonight, look up at the starry sky, or in the morning, look at the sun, or at some time, look at the moon. When you see an effect like the sun, the moon, or the stars, you know that there has to be a cause equal to or greater than that effect. So in short, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, as David said, in Psalm 19, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So in very simple terms, the first thing that you can know via creation is that there is a God who created all things. But Paul also explains, and you can read this in Romans chapter 2, that God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our consciousness, which is to say that we know internally that there is a God. So we may deny it vocally, but internally we have a record written upon the tablet of our consciousness. So there's an outer testimony to God, and there's also an inner testimony to God. And if we respond to the outer testimony and the inner testimony, God will give us further testimony. He will give us the light of Christ. And Christ, speaking to Nicodemus, said that light came into darkness, that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So again, the problem is not that there is not enough or not sufficient light. The problem is that people want to live in darkness, and therefore they seek to discard the light that they have been given. So my short answer to you is you have the light of creation, you have the light of conscience, and if you respond to that, you can have the light of Christ. And if you want to really understand who Christ is, it takes the discipline of reading the Word of God, because the Word of God unveils the Word of God made flesh, or Jesus Christ. And one of the best ways to get a real grasp of that is to read the Gospel of John.
Okay. Yeah, I've grown up in the First Southern Baptist Church. I've recently went non-denominal and just kind of exploring around. just trying to understand everything. There's so many different directions to look at. It gets real confusing. And then once I think I finally have a grasp of everything, something in the back of my mind just says, you know, what is this? And you got all the TV shows showing you how, you know, evolution this, evolution that. And it just brings up thoughts in your mind, you know?
Well,
and
sure, it does.
I think it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. But, you know, there's just those deep, dark thoughts in the back of my head, and that's where I'm questioning my salvation. It worries me. It really does, because I do believe in God. I do believe in Jesus Christ, but I want to know where I guess I'm asking a man where I stand, where I really should be asking God. But I'm trying to figure out where I stand when I question it so much like that.
Yeah, well, it's not bad to question it. What's bad is to fail to recognize that there is an answer to your question, and ultimately that the one who revealed himself in time and space can become more real to you than the very flesh upon your bones. But for that to happen, you have to partake in the means of grace. I've outlined that in various places, and I'd be happy to send that to you so you can grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be right back with more answers.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we return to our phone calls. We'll talk next to Andrew, listening in Fresno, California. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I have a question about Isaiah 34:13-15 and the whole myth of Lilith, the first wife of Adam. Kind of want to know about that stuff.
Well, it is a myth. In fact, it is a myth that originated according to the alphabet of Ben Sirah, which was a commentary on the Bible written between the 7th, I believe, and the 10th centuries. And this is, as I said, an idea that God created Adam, and then he also created a woman named Lilith. And since the 1970s, she has reappeared in various guises in Jewish poetry, in Jewish fiction, and the like. She has been reclaimed by American Jewish women as a model of female independence. And there's actually a feminist magazine, I don't know if it's still in print, named Lilith, which reinvented the Genesis account of creation to include the creation of Lilith. But for most Jews, Lilith has been relegated to medieval superstition, and most of them, I would say, do not take this seriously.
Okay. My professor had brought it up, and so I was just asking about it.
Yeah, if you hang on, we may be able to send you some further information on Lilith if you're interested in providing more information for your class or for your professor. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Joan, Manhattan, Kansas. Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, my question really is, this always bothers me a little bit, hear how this country was found by Christians, I mean, father and things like that. But yet, how in the world do we have, how did they allow slavery? You know, especially if this country was found by Christians, people who believe in the Bible, since the Bible teaches one another to be kind and others the way, you know, God would treat us, things like that. But you have people who go to church and they call them against another because of their race or ethnicity and things like that, but yet they still consider themselves as Christians and think that they are following. It's kind of, you know, just wanted your suggestion on that. Like, what do you think about, you know, how this country runs sometimes? You have a lot of people who call themselves Christians. They praise in the Lord and everything, but yet they don't like another person because they're this color or they're from this country or such and such.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a legitimate question, and I do think that, unfortunately, there are those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips who have prostituted the Bible in order to forward the horror of slavery in the past, and unfortunately, they continue to do the precise same thing in the present. But this is a prostitution of Scripture, not a correct reading of Scripture. A correct reading of Scripture makes plain that slavery would be an abomination to the Lord. In fact, the Bible overtly states that. The Bible overtly lets us know that slave traders are in the same category as murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. That's precisely what Paul wrote to Timothy. Slavery within the Old Testament context was sanctioned, but it was due to economic realities rather than racial or sexual prejudices. And because bankruptcy laws did not exist, people would voluntarily sell themselves into slavery. So even a convicted thief could make restitution by serving as a slave. While the Bible as a whole does recognize the reality of slavery, again, it should be underscored that it never promotes the practice of slavery. In fact, it was the application of biblical principles that ultimately led to the overthrow of slavery, both in ancient Israel and the United States of America. And Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt was, in fact, the model for the liberation of slaves in general. And so in America, many are beginning to wake up to the liberating biblical truth that all people are created by God with innate equality. So again, there are all kinds of people that misread the Bible. There are those like John Hagee that promote racism in the Holy Land by saying Jerusalem only for the Jews. But any clear reading of the Bible makes clear that God is not a racist, nor is a real estate broker.
Okay, well, thank you. You're very wise, and I love listening to you. Your opinion matters a lot. It does bother me when people are using the Bible and saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a devout Christian, but yeah, you are racist, but you don't like a certain group because this, this, and that, without even getting to know them based on what you see on TV or what you think, you know, society is telling you about this particular race.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And quite frankly, any human being that can look at another human being and think that they're superior because of their pigmentation or some other reason simply is not dwelling at the foot of the cross. We are all created in the image of God and all have ontological equality because we are created in the imago Dei, or the image of God. And so racism is a horrific evil, and even worse when justified in the name of Scripture.
Amen. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You as well, Joan. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines to talk to Bob in Dodge City, Kansas. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call. I've got a question for you, and then after you answer the question, I'll tell you why I'm posing the question.
Sure.
I grew up in a Nazarene church and was taught that God has a plan for our life at conception. I was wondering what your opinion was on that, and then I'll tell you why that I'm asking.
Well, the answer to that is that's precisely what the Bible teaches us. I mean, if you look at Psalm 139, the Bible explicitly says that all the days ordained for us are written in His book before one of them came to be.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask the question is we had a 33-year-old daughter that took her life 3 years ago. Was there anything that we could have done to save her if what you said is true? And I have no reason not to believe that. That's what I believe. But could we have saved her knowing that God knew at conception that when she was 33 years old, she was going to take her life?
Well, there's a couple of things here, Bob, that are very important to recognize. And before I actually say what I'm going to say, my condolences, I can't imagine what a horrible trauma you have gone through with the loss of your daughter. But the fact that God knows that something will happen does not mean that God is the cause of what happens. If you look back at your own life, there are things you can know with certainty that you had no causal relationship to whatsoever. And so you can look backward and know about things with certainty and yet not have caused those things. And what is true with us looking backwards is true with God, not only looking backwards, but obviously looking forwards as well. So God knows what is going to happen, but we still have free will. We have the opportunity to exercise our wills, and that is what your daughter did. She exercised her will. Now, I don't know the circumstances, but I do know this, that we should never, ever take in our own hands a prerogative that is God's alone. We should never take in our hands the notion of taking our own life. But sometimes these kinds of things happen in a time in which we are out of our mind. We're not in our right mind. We're despondent. And when that is the case, God can yet save us. There's no warrant biblically for suggesting that suicide is the unforgivable sin. So my hope and prayer...
What is your answer then? Because I've asked the same thing to numerous pastors, and I guess my question is, and maybe it's because of the guilt that we are carrying, was there anything in light of the fact of what you said, that God has a plan for our lives, and we've never blamed God for her death, but was there anything that we could have done as parents?
Well, I don't know. I can't actually answer that question because I don't know all the circumstances, but I do know this, that you need to press on at this point, learn from whatever happened, and press forward knowing that God's grace and goodness is sufficient for you in your life as you carry forward. It's a difficult circumstance, and I don't mean to be cavalier, but I cannot tell you whether there's something you could have done. There may have been some things that you did which were deflective in terms of raising your daughter. I don't know that. But I don't think that you can be consumed with guilt, but rather look forward, recognizing that you can learn from the past and go on in the future, that God yet has a purpose and a position for you in this world, that He's left you here for a reason.
I understand.
But I would be happy to talk to you off air. I certainly do not want to be cavalier about this call. This is an unfathomable proposition in my mind. So again, if you would like, I'd be happy to talk to you off air. We're coming to the end of the broadcast right now, so I can talk to you in just a few moments. We'll look forward to answering more questions right here next week on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, have a great weekend. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.